like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please.
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Well, let's start off with a positive story today. Bills safety DeMar Hamlin has been fully cleared to return to playing football, according to Brandon Bean, the Buffalo Bills general manager. He saw his last specialist last Friday and is in attendance and participating at voluntary workouts with the Bills this week. That's amazing news, dude. I didn't think he was... There's part of me that wondered if he was going to play football again, either because physically or mentally, maybe he was going to stay out of it. But this is a very positive story for the league. And according to Brandon Bean, he said this: he's fully cleared, he's here, and he is of the mindset, he is in a great headspace to come back and make his return. Ja Morant. Ooh, I don't know, man. X-rays were negative, but Morant described his status for Wednesday's game 2 as in jeopardy. I'm in a good bit of pain. Ja Morant might not be able to go. That one's going to be interesting to see. Because I'm telling you, man, without Ja Morant, I'm looking at this and thinking that the Lakers are going to... I feel like they got a good shot to win this series anyway. And then if you throw Ja Morant in, they'll play tomorrow, I believe, right? They'll be right before the Nuggets game. So injuries already kind of taking hold of the NBA playoffs. Another injury, Giannis. He got an MRI on his injured back that came back clean. Budenholzer said Monday afternoon that as far as an optimistic update, one day after, that they're very hopeful that he can play in their next game. So they're in a tough spot too if they can't go. So they'll play tomorrow night. The slate for tomorrow night, and we'll get to our picks for tonight, but Wednesday's slate looks like this. 5:30 is Lakers-Grizzlies. 7 o'clock, Heat-Bucks. And then, of course, the Timberwolves and the Nuggets will go out at 8 o'clock on TNT. Do you bet a lot on China basketball, Angel? You
ever China basketball?
China basketball. You ever play the ponies there?
No.
No? It's probably a good thing. Stay away from it. China Basketball Association disqualifies teams for match fixing. Match fixing. China's top basketball league has disqualified two teams for its postseason amid allegations of match fixing. The ruling came after the Chinese Basketball Association determined that the Shanghai Sharks and the something Dragons, not even going to try, Jiangsu, we'll go with Jiangsu something Dragons, engaged in unsportsmanlike conduct during a playoff series last week. The league said in a statement Monday that the Sharks and the Dragons showed a lack of competitive effort and were negative in competition. Negative in competition. What does that mean? There's negative. This sucks. I hate it. Ah, terrible shot by you. During their best of 3 playoff series that concluded Friday. The teams also will be fined the equivalent of $5 million and have their general managers and head coaches suspended from the league for up to 5 years. The CBA, headed by NBA great Yao Ming, initially announced Saturday that it wanted reports from both teams on their conduct during the series. Yao said Monday in a statement that the situation was quite saddening, but stressed that the disqualifications and other penalties were necessary to preserve the league's credibility. So what does that mean, Angel? Were they just not trying to win? The Dragons led the Sharks 196 with 136 remaining, but committed 5 straight turnovers over the next minute that helped Shanghai gain a 10-point lead. The game ended in a 108-104 win for Shanghai and a 2-1 victory in the series. Wild, man. This is what you just don't dare want to happen here in the States, because once there is a whiff of fixing games or integrity and all that stuff, man, things can go south in a hurry. There's just a little note here There's several former NBA players on the roster, including number two draft pick Michael Beasley, Eric Bledsoe, who was serving a suspension for the series against the Dragons. It's weird, dude. The league accused the Sharks of negative contention. In game two of the series, it was a 97-90 victory by the Dragons. Shanghai allegedly lost the game intentionally to extend the series to game three and allow Bledsoe, who was given a four-game suspension before the postseason, started to return earlier in the quarterfinals. Wild. Just absolutely wild stuff. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Aaron says, so they basically did what the Mavericks did. Kind of, but they were in the playoffs and they wanted to extend. They wanted to get their guy in the, well, if you can win with or without the, I don't know. Flying Dutchman says, I was thinking about being positive regarding the Rockies. It's very positive that they are 15th in Major League payroll. Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's, you know, we always kind of just paint the picture of Dick Monfort not spending any money, but they're in the middle of the league, I guess. But sometimes you just wonder, when you're spending that money, are you spending it wisely? And are you, you know, last year before the trade deadline, the Rockies weren't active. They were one of the only teams that didn't do anything. And then, you know, you pick up a Chris Bryant, which you get a name and that's exciting. That's what fans want to see, is a Chris Bryant. But was that move really the move that needed to be done for the Rocks? And do you eventually just come at this whole thing and say, we're tearing it all down, meaning we're not going to give out big time contracts to, you know, really good stat players. We're going to tear this whole thing down. We're going to really focus on the pitching. That's our number one. And we just know we're going to be bad for 2 years. And then hopefully we can grow. But you don't really trust the farm system either. Dude, when you're this bad for this long, it goes to the top. How are you running your baseball team?
And it's not like Rockies fans. We're not asking for the World Series immediately. We're not asking for, you know, a Padres-type roster, even a Yankees-type roster with all the big names and they're all on big contracts. We're just asking for a competitive baseball team, a team that's in the mix in July and August. That's all we want. We want to be able to go and enjoy a game. Hey, Rockies have a good shot of winning today. Let's go have a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out and actually win.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, that was a good time. We have to come back next week. That's all we don't want.
It's a lot of
fun. We don't need
when they win.
The trophies and the parades and all that. We got that with the Nuggets and the Avs and the Broncos.
Yeah, those are the adult sports.
The Rockies, you need to be a supplemental football team or a sports team for us. So just be competitive.
Get us through the tough days of summer. That's what we ask of you. Get us through June.
And if you get to September and you fall out of the race, all right, I guess that's fine. We're not even focused on baseball at that point.
But isn't that crazy that that's the mentality of what you want? The Nuggets fired a coach years ago because they were tired of going to the playoffs and losing the first round.
You got to get to the playoffs before you can start complaining about getting there.
I know. That's what I'm saying, though. That's the difference here. The Avs were talking about firing their coach. Well, the Avs weren't talking about it. We were talking about it. We were talking about the Avs firing Jared Bednar if he can't get the team past the second round. The Broncos, again, it's been bad, but still the expectations are, if you're not a playoff team, we're not showing up. And that's what happened this year. The fans spoke. This is football in Colorado. The Broncos in Colorado, that's the thing. And you mean to tell me tens of thousands of people left in overtime between the Broncos-Colts when the Broncos still had a very realistic shot of winning that game? It was still relatively early in the season. Playoffs were still, you know, at least a goal. But people were so fed up over the last few years, they're like, I'm not standing for this crap. I'm leaving. And as much as I think, you dude, life's too short to boycott, I get there's boycotting of serious things and all that. I understand that. But I've always said it. If you enjoy taking your family to a Rockies game and having a beer and a hot dog or whatever and just kind of taking the day in, don't avoid it. But at the same time, as a diehard sports fan, if you want this thing to get better, the only thing that changes things is if you speak with your wallet. That's what the Broncos did. That's what John Elway did. John Elway, you think he wanted to start Tim Tebow all those years ago over Kyle Orton? That wasn't the plan. But the fans were chanting Tebow's name in unison after a loss. And Elway's like, I'm going to lose fans here. I'm going to lose some support, and it's my first year running this thing. So he starts Tebow, and then obviously some magic happened there. Fired coaches like Nathaniel Hackett. There was no way of fixing that, of coming back from that, because the fans were not showing up. That is the only thing that you can really do. Texter here, Dixon. Oh, okay. I'll get to that one in a minute. What can I swami? The Rockies need to copy and paste from the Braves way or the Rays way of doing things. But even then, like, Dick Monfort makes fun of those teams and the Padres. And he's
the Braves have an established baseball culture.
Right. You have to tear this thing down to the studs and just say that that's what it is.
And you have to let your fans know that that's what
exactly.
You're doing.
Exactly. Come support us if you want. We would love you to. It's a young team. Let's get excited about them because we want to be in the mix regularly. Like we want to develop 5 to 8 players that are our guys that we're bringing up through the system.
I think UNC football is a great example of this, where it's a program that's been down for a long time since they jumped up to Division I. And when Ed Lamb got here, he understood the expectations of what this program is up to this point. And he says, yeah, it's been bad. We're going to work to get it better, and we hope you're along for the ride.
Knowing self-awareness is critical in sports. And I think that's a great comparison that you make, because on that Zoom call last week, Ed Lamb was 100% self-aware of what they were dealing with. He's not sitting here saying, yeah, we should be more popular than CSU. We should be more beloved than CU. People should actually choose us over everything else. He understands that this is a unique environment. This is not the number one choice if you're the number one recruit. He gets that. He's not trying to pretend it's something that's not, at least when it comes to football. So Dick Monfort has never done that. But when he does do that and say, well, it's not even realistic for us to be in the playoffs more than twice every 5 years, nobody wants to hear that. But they also don't want to hear, yeah, we're going to be a 500 club, or we're going to be a little bit more than that. You give us this false hope that everyone knows is garbage, but at the same time, you give us false hope, but you also say it's not reasonable that we'll ever be a team that goes to the playoffs on the regular. And so you build hope, and then you shatter the hope at the same time. And it starts at the top. It's the way these things typically go. 18 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, we'll talk about a team that's trying to get back on the right track. They lost a lot of guys, whether just guys exhausting their eligibility or whatnot. We're going to talk to UNC Bears coach Steve Smiley coming up on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
With me now on our First Advantage Hotline, UNC Bears head coach Steve Smiley. Coach, man, thanks so much. Always look forward to our conversations. There's certainly a lot to get to today.
Oh, yeah. No, it's good to hear from you, Brady. I was on hold here, and I heard the boss man with a little plug, Darren Dunn. It's always good, man.
We absolutely love the connection with you guys, and we only had to pay Darren a fortune to do that.
Rejoin NIL, there. Baby.
NIL for Darren, no question about it.
Yeah.
NIL transfer portal stuff, man. I've texted you this multiple times. Yeah. I don't know how you guys do it. I mean, I think college coaching is difficult anyway, but now it is a constant job of re-recruiting, looking over your shoulder. Can you talk to us? And I want to talk about all the good news, too, because we got some really exciting young players that I think a lot of folks are pumped about. But can you talk to us a little bit about the Dalton Kinect situation? We know he entered the transfer portal. I still don't know where he's going. Can you talk to us a little bit about that situation? Because, Coach, I got to be honest, that came as a pretty big shock to me and a few people.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's just kind of the new reality, and not that that means every, you know, really good player is going to get in the portal, and I just think that it's one of those things where every kid has, you know, they have to look at their options, right? And obviously, when he got in the portal, we were disappointed. It felt like, you know, he got in probably 3 or 4 weeks after the season was over, and at the time, you know, we thought he probably was not going to get into it. So, you know, whatever changed or however it went, you know, he felt like that was the best path for him. You know, really, you look at Dalton, and, you know, he's graduating here in a couple of weeks. And if there was not the free COVID year, his career would be over. So if he looks at it that way, he says, okay, look, you know, I've graduated, had a great, you know, 2-year run, great career at Northern Colorado, and want to try this, that's fine. I think if you talk from a strictly basketball sense for any kid, you have to measure the risk and reward. Like, okay, if I stay at whatever school I'm at, what are the positives? What are the negatives? If I do get into the portal, same thing. What are the positives? What are the negatives? And each kid's situation is different. But I think with, you know, Dalton, you know, he's visited a couple. I mean, wherever he goes, I mean, he's already visited them, 2 or 3 of the top 10 schools in the country. And I've seen on reports that of the 1,300 or 1,400 Division I players in the portal, he's ranked like number 6. And so
wow.
at the end of the day, you tie that into whatever amount of money he's going to make NIL-wise, which I don't know what it is, but it will blow people away. You look at it that way, it's hard to fault that situation. And like I said, obviously, we were disappointed, but as soon as you kind of find that out, you say, okay, well, you know, the sooner we at least know that, the sooner we can look at our situation in terms of how are we going to rebuild our roster. So we wish him nothing but the best, but it was just one of those things. I think anytime you know, kid opts in the portal, and, you know, everyone's got their own situation. You look at Steele Venters, who was the player of the year in our league, left Eastern Washington, now he's at Gonzaga. You could go through our league, and what's crazy is of, like, the 15 all-league guys and the defense player of the year and all this different stuff, a couple of those guys graduated, guys like, you know, Dalen that had no more eligibility. But in our league, I would say, just throwing a random number out there, there's probably 70% of those guys are gone in the portal. Like, it's just decimated. So, it's everywhere. Jalen Cohn left. He went to Cal Berkeley. And so, you know, a lot of the good players in our league have hopped in the portal for better or worse, and they're going to different spots.
So, Coach, what do you do with this? Because, again, we've seen, you know, in your short time as the head coach with the Bears, I mean, you were just tossed in the COVID year and everything.
Yep.
It was
yep.
absolutely nuts. But what do you do here? I mean, you have brought in some very good players, and you've kept some very good players, too. I mean, you know, we've had all these shows with the Matt Johnsons and Dalen Kuntzes of the world, and
yep.
obviously speak so highly of you and your staff. But at the end of the day, you know, with the transfer, and I've heard from other coaches, hey, there's coaches reaching out when they're not supposed to be reaching out, so stuff's going on. But then you're competing with NIL too. I mean, what do you do?
Well, you just gotta, you know, you either adapt or you get out. At the end of the day, you know, you adapt to say, hey, look, hey, these are the new rules of the game. The game has changed. The game has changed a lot, even in the last 5 to 10 years. And at the same time, you know, as we kind of joke in our profession, the portal giveth and the portal taketh,
yeah.
right? So, you know, if there was no portal, there was no Dalen Kuntz here as well. So I look at even going all the way back that you mentioned, you know, starting to get the job during COVID. And the main reason I was so excited to get the job is that I knew that our internal players had committed to staying. Guys like Matt, Bodie, Coor, Sam Mass, like I knew they were staying if I got the job, and that it wasn't going to be like, hey, you got to go sign 10 guys. And now as the portal's ramped up even more, I mean, Brady, there's over 2,000 Division I and Division II transfers in the portal right now. You're talking about, like, on average 4 or 5 guys on each team. Then you add maybe 2 guys that are graduated. Every team's decimated. There was multiple teams at the Big Sky head coaches meeting that I was at last week that said, hey, I only got 4 guys. So
wow.
it's just, you know, you look at all of our, you know, our friends down the road. I mean, every team, you know, CU, CSU, Wyoming, Air Force, their great guard went to Clemson, right? Like, you know, guys like John Tonji, you know, goes to Missouri, right? Like everyone, Lawson Lovering goes from CU to Utah, right? Wyoming lost a bunch of guys. It's just, and these are great programs and great coaches. So one thing I've learned is to not take it personally and just say, hey, this is the reality situation, and let's keep moving forward.
Do you talk to any of the coaches in the area? Because, again, I know Coach Linder, of course, you guys are obviously still got to be still pretty close. I mean, he gets wind of his stud, one of his main studs, leaving while he's attending his father's funeral. I mean, it's just it just kind of goes to show you the portal waits for no man. I mean, it is there, and players are looking for different opportunities.
We all talk, you know. I think we're all in our own little ways pretty close. Obviously, you know, Coach Linder is one of my best friends in the world. But yeah, I'm talking to Coach Boyle and, you know, Nico and his staff. I mean, part of this thing too is figuring out who's staying, who's going, and then once a kid goes, and you're trying to maybe recruit a kid, is trying to figure out, okay, are we really in the game or not? And it's just so much of this is just gathering information. You're doing that through Zooms, and you're doing that through, you know, once a kid's in the portal, like, it's crazy, Brady, like. Kids get in the portal if they're any good at all. Their first 3 days in the portal, you know, for instance, they're getting bombarded with phone calls, texts, Zooms, and they don't even know what's going on. It's like, you know, it's just recruiting on steroids. So you try to let the dust settle, you know, in our situation and see what's real and what's not. The hardest thing for us is you can't chase ghosts. And you can't be, you know, wasting a ton of time and money and energy and visiting kids that where you're really not, you know, top two, top three school for them. That's the hardest thing. So you try to really gather as much information as you can.
Well, and it's one of the things too. And again, you don't wish ill will on anybody, but you just wonder if with this transfer portal, you start seeing some examples of guys that enter the portal and maybe they go somewhere else. It's not what they thought. The grass isn't always greener. Mm-hmm. You just wonder if you're going to start seeing more and more of those stories. NIL deals that go south. The larger amount of money you get, the bigger companies you work with. I think the bigger the chances something might go wrong down the road. So you just wonder if there's going to be those examples down the road.
Yeah, I think more and more of that stuff will happen. You know, I don't know, some, you know, massive multi-million dollar corporation gives a kid $300,000 to be the best player on a team, and then all of a sudden the kid's the eighth best player, and maybe your return on investment isn't what you thought it was if you're that business, you know, business person. So I don't know, but it's volatile. And too, there are certain examples of kids that got in the portal and thought it was going to be one thing. And then it wasn't that, you know, their market value wasn't what they thought. And not even like NIL-wise, but, well, maybe I'll get in the portal and I'll move up two theoretical levels. And next thing you know, you're down two theoretical levels. So, you know, it's for the kids, too, there's a lot of risk. And it's just really disrupted it. You know, like I said, we're just trying to make it a positive and just trying to, you know, grow to what we got. I feel really good about where we're going, but it's been a lot different. No doubt about it.
UNC head basketball coach Steve Smiley joining us. Well, talk to us about that feeling. You said you feel good about where we're going. Some pretty big names. I'm getting texts right now blowing us up here, already talking about some of the guys that you brought in. I mean, there's a lot of excitement about these young men.
Yeah, I think, you know, first of all, you know, I'm staring at our little board right now. You know, we have seven scholarship guys back right now, which, again, is probably above average. You know, so you got seven out of your 13. Everyone gets 13 at this level. We got seven returners, so we got a good core coming back. A big chunk of that core are going to be sophomores, you know, on that little line next year, okay? All sophomores plus, you know, Theo Hughes, who's a junior, and Riley Abercrombie, who's a senior. So you got seven dudes, which gives us six spots, and we really do feel like we got to hit six for six, like six really good players. And to be honest, like I said, the portal giveth and it taketh. You know, we're recruiting a lot of older players, and not just portal, but junior college. And obviously kids that haven't signed yet we can't talk about, but we do feel like we're three for three. We think the kid that we signed in the fall, Makai Cameron, is a starting point. You know, if his team would have made it to the national tournament, I think he's an All-American guard. People talking a lot about him. He's a big, strong guard, elite shooter, which we lack this year. You know, 6'3", 6'4", about 200 pounds. His dad was the famous baseball player, Mike Cameron, who was the Golden Glove winner for the Seattle Mariners. And so Makai is just, I think, going to be a really good player. And then just, you know, last week or whatever, we signed two kids that I'm okay to talk about. DeJure Reeves, who was a second-team All-American junior college player right down the road at Trinidad State. I think he's going to be really, really good. I mean, you know, the amount of offers and if people start getting into the NIL stuff, like, he had a lot of stuff on the table. And he visited our place, and we were the first visit, and he shut it down, committed, and signed. So that was a big deal. And then the other one, St. Thomas, which transferred from Loyola Chicago, you know, from Omaha, Nebraska, from, you know, the storied program Millard North, where a bunch of other good players played at, Hunter Salas, Jaden Johnson, guys like that, which, you know, really good program. And St. Thomas, you know, getting him to sign, what was a big deal. He came out on his visit, didn't quite know where we stood in the grand scheme of his recruiting. And 2 days later, he put me on a FaceTime to say he wanted to be a Bear. So we got him signed, and we were able to publicize that as well. And, you know, Jaden's a guy that, you know, he's about, you know, he's all 6'7", maybe 6'8", about 225, 230. And he's a guy that can play multiple spots on the wing. And his ability to pass, shoot, I'm just so excited because he's a guy that should be able to come in and be a really good player right away. So I feel like we've been 3 for 3 out of these 6 spots, but we got to hit 6 for 6, Brady. So there's still a lot of work to be done.
And I love it. You know, again, hearing so much about both those last two guys that you mentioned, yeah, with DeJour Reeves and St. Thomas. But my goodness, St. Thomas, that is not, if that's not a basketball name, I don't know what is. I mean, that's just a sports name. I love it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, if you go back, like the people that like really nerd out on the stuff, like if they hop on like Verbal Commits and search his name and look at the offers he had out of high school, it would blow you away. I mean, he was a high major, SEC offers, Big 12 offers. And so to say that I'm excited about him would be an understatement. And so we'll see.
Well, and you said you got to go 6 for 6 here. You got to hit on these guys. So I'm just assuming the 3 for 3, these guys we're talking about here, you're expecting all three of them to be major contributors next season.
Yeah, you know, and like for the returning guys, because it's been a different recruiting model too. It's like, you know, when you're a returner, you're like, hey, you know, we're going to bring in a couple 18-year-old kids, and they might beat you out too, but you got 2 or 3 years in the program and you're 2 or 3 years older, I would assume that kid that's in the program, like, they don't feel threatened, right? But we're doing it different this year. We're not recruiting a lot of freshmen right now. And so with our internal guys, again, the majority of those guys being sophomores, we just were very straight up with them. Like, look, you know, when we start recruiting, we're going to be bringing in older guys, guys that might have 1 or 2 years left, guys that might be grad transfers, guys that might be junior college kids that have played maybe, you know, going into their fourth year of basketball with that COVID year. So, you know, one, like when they're on campus, you're going to have to handle that appropriately, because I believe our guys are our best selling tool when recruits come to campus. So that's really important. So I was a little worried about that. But then, too, I just told guys, we need help. Like, we're this right here, like, this is a good core, but, like, this isn't good enough. Like, we got to get some guys. And so our internal guys have been great. They've been awesome on these visits. They get it, too. Yeah, in theory, every guy we get to come in, at least the idea is like, hey, you got to earn it. We never guarantee starting playing time, but we also show them like, look, you know, Matt Dalen Dalton, you know, is our 1, 2, and 3. They played about 105 out of a possible 120 minutes. It's a lot of minutes. So like, your opportunity is through the roof, but you got to take it. But that's what we're recruiting for, is to try to fill those holes.
Coach, who on the roster right now, and kind of excluding the new names that you just mentioned, when you look at, okay, who do I need to step up and really be that leader? I know you mentioned Theo Hughes, you mentioned Riley. A guy, a young guy, but we talk about him a lot, is Langston Reynolds. I know my producer Angel's really excited about him too. When you look at those guys, who is that guy right now you're looking at saying, we got to have somebody step up and really be a leader on this team?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, like, if I look at like our post, interior depth, that's the most depth we have back on the team, which is really a plus because it's really hard to find big guys. You know, you want to go portal, JUCO, high school, there's just not a lot of them. So, you know, obviously Theo, but then, you know, Brock Wisden, Brock's going to take a huge step. Now, he had a good year, and I thought he should have been the freshman of the year. He probably just didn't play quite enough in the offseason to get the stats, but he actually had the best stats in our league freshman-wise, and I think he finished runner-up. So he had a great year, but you look at Brock, and what people are going to see a little bit different next year is he's going to start stretching that floor out. Like, he can really shoot it. And now that he's got a year under his belt, the game's slowing down, you're going to see a huge jump from Brock. And that's just going to help our interior, where you got Brock, they can do some different stuff than Theo. They're different players. And I think, too, you know, all those guys, I think, you know, Juju Ramirez, he actually grew an inch, put on 10 pounds already, and he's still got a ways to go, but he already looks like a different dude. And he's, again, he's kind of play 4 or 5, but I think our interior at least has a nice base to it. You talk about Langston, you talk about Zach, who redshirted last year, is back in the fold. We've got some good young guys that are, I mean, more than ready to play and help out. And so now it's just a matter of looking at what we have and trying to piece those other guys around them so that this roster makes sense. That's the hardest thing, Brady, is as you're trying to sign 5, 6 guys, or in some cases, some guys are signing 9 or 10 guys. How do you piece this thing together so that at the end of the day, when they all show up in June, is this the way we thought it was supposed to look? There's so many new guys, but I'm really excited. All those guys, Connor Creech has had a great offseason. You know, obviously heart toughness, motor is at the highest level. you know, developing as a shooter and reading the, you know, the game and playmaking, but he's getting better every day. And that kid puts so much time into it. So we've got a lot of guys that are really, really putting in some time. I think we've had a really good spring. In terms of development with our returning guys.
Well, and Coach, I think too with the amount of young players that had to play last year. I mean, you obviously, oh, as yeah. you mentioned, you had your three guys, but around them you had to decorate a lot of youngsters around them. I mean, it wasn't ultimately the season that you wanted, but this could be one of those seasons where you look back and go, that's what started though. We had so many young yeah. guys that were thrust into competition, and it really paid off in the end.
I think it'll pay off for all those young guys. And I think too, like, you know, a pretty big chunk of your overall, you know, record and stuff is your non-con, and we haven't finished it yet. We haven't publicized it, but it's not going to be quite the gauntlet that it was this year with Houston and Baylor and New Mexico and CU, CSU, San Jose, Air Force. That was the craziest schedule ever. And we're still going to have some really tough games, but I think it will be a little bit, you know, I thought it was a little bit out of whack, especially when we had some young guys. So I think we're going to have an older, more mature roster this year. And I'm just really excited to see it all kind of come together as we get kind of piece by piece. But so far, so good.
Yeah, Coach, all right, before we let you go, talk to us about the camps coming up. I mean, I can't believe it. It's already, we're approaching April, and we're looking at June already coming up with these camp registrations.
Camp season, yeah. So, no, camp season's coming up. Obviously, we do a couple different things. You know, the one that's different than our kid camps is our massive team camp, and that thing is going to be as big as ever, which is just such a great thing for us, and really for the entire, you know, Northern Colorado area with all the teams that are coming in, hotels, restaurants, all that different stuff. So that thing is going to be as big as it's ever been. But then, you know, our kids camps, I think it'll be great. You know, we have 2 3-day camps, and those are so much fun because you get your players, you know, our players and coaches, we're the ones out there with them. And we work with kids, and we do all different age ranges. You know, the camp is open to really any age range, you know, gender, anything. So, no, we're excited, you know, get back on the court. And it's a fun time, too, because it's right after our guys return for the summer. So there's a new juice. The team's finally there together. We'll see what the team looks like, and they're on the court, you know, working with the kids. So it's pretty cool.
Coach, how can folks – I know you have a Twitter account, the Steve Smiley Team Camp, but also just registration yeah. opportunities. How can folks check out the camp information?
Yeah, there's a couple different ways to do it. The easiest way, just in terms of, you know, remembering the website, would just go SteveSmileyBasketballCamps.com. Just one word, SteveSmileyBasketballCamps.com, camps being plural. And both the camps are right on it. You can register online, do the credit card deal. If you want to kind of go the old school way with the flyer and the check, we can do that too. The easiest way to get to that is through our actual athletic website, uncbears.com. And then you just go to men's basketball camps, and it's pretty easy as well. But a lot of different ways to do that. But if people just reach out to us as well, shoot us an email, we'll get them squared away. But we do hope that we get a good turnout, you know, from all the local area kids. I just think it's a great start to their summer as well.
Yeah, I love it, Coach. Well, we'll get on soon. I'll get you back on soon as we get a little bit closer, yeah. too, for updates and such. But we appreciate you kind of going through the gamut with us here on the show today. We covered a lot of ground.
A lot of ground. So, no, that sounds good, Brad. I always appreciate being on.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you real soon. That's head coach Steve Smiley of the UNC Bears. We talk about it. We talk about the transfer portal a lot. That's what happens when you have a sports show that talks a lot of college sports. It's a very unique thing. It is, but you just got to keep grinding. I think these are big names. I got a text in from Ryan that said that guard from Trinidad State was a huge pickup for Smiley. So that's that one's DeJour Reeves. And then St. Thomas, Akai Cameron, those are three big names there. So Coach feels like they went 3 for 3. Now they got to get three more hopeful studs coming in to compete. 12:42 the time on Jealous. Jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. And you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. A little Soundgarden vibe today from you on Chell. I don't know if you saw the big news, but there was kind of a lawsuit going on between, obviously, the Chris Cornell passed away a few years ago, his family, and the band Soundgarden, as far as releasing some of the songs that they were working on before he passed away, because they joined forces again. They reunited, and they were touring and everything. But there was a hang-up on whether they could release those songs because of a lawsuit, and I guess they settled, and it's all good. Everybody's friends again. So we're going to get some new stuff from Soundgarden. How about that?
Yeah, I figured I'd give you a little treat today.
I like
it. Let you enjoy some Soundgarden.
I'm a big Soundgarden guy. I'm a big Chris Cornell guy. And, of course, I was pretty big into Rage Against the Machine, too, Tom Morello. And then when those two joined forces and made Audioslave, it was...
It's like the Avengers.
It was exactly the Avengers. It was like Iron Man and Captain America teaming up to form the best band of all time, and they only made three albums. So, in my opinion, first album was just the thing, the best. Second was very good. Third was, it was all right, but the first album was just amazing.
So what are your expectations for these new songs?
It's hard to
a lot of build up for it.
It's hard to recapture that kind of stuff, man, because they were, they were riding high. They were rolling back in the day. And so in the 90s and stuff. And then they came back and they did another, I think they did two more albums like 15 years ago or something like that. They're all right. It's just hard to recapture the magic, man. I mean, even Metallica, they came out with their new stuff. And it's good. I like it. I like some of it. But it's just not, it's not quite what they were. Once you break and stop a little bit in between, it's hard to recapture that. Do you change with the times? Do you stick with the same sound? I'll tell you, the band that's done it, that has found a way to evolve, is the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They find ways to evolve, and every album just is a little bit better than the last. So there's a little music for you. Who did I see coming to the Budweiser Event Center? Did you see that? Billy Idol. Is Billy Idol still alive? I guess he is.
According to Brian this morning, yes, he is.
Billy Idol.
The one and only.
The one and only Billy Idol. I just saw him in The Wedding Singer. And that's how I really know him. And I know he's singing white. He's 67 years old. How's that? I mean, I wonder how that performance is going to be. Is he moving all over the place? I mean, I don't know. Would you go see Billy Idol? Does that do anything for you, Angel?
Not really.
Do you know any of this, like White Wedding? You've heard
I know some of his songs from just stuff that I play on the shows. Like, yeah, White Wedding, Dancing with Myself, Money,
oh, that's
Money,
a good one.
Hot in the City, Rebel Yell. Yeah, I'm not going to go to a concert, though.
Moaning. Was that his song? I don't know. Yeah, Billy Idol. There you go. If you like Billy Idol, then you might be interested in going to that concert. 12:49 the time. It is a Top Text Tuesday presented by Cables Pub and Grill. And on Tuesdays, I'm a burger guy. I'm a pizza guy, which is why Cables is great, because they have amazing burgers, amazing pizza, amazing wings. All you can eat spaghetti. I mean, they do the right things when it comes to food. And on Tuesday, it's Burger Madness for just $9.99. You got to take advantage of it. Dude, I love Cables Pub and Grill. I just love to go there and hang out. It is where my friends meet. But I can also go there if I just want to get away from the office and work and grab a bite to eat, set up the computer there. They got the patio there. You can watch the Rockies games, but you can order a beverage or two while you're doing that. Sometimes that makes the Rockies games go down a little bit easier.
Well, 60% of the time it works every time.
That's very true. Burger Madness today at Cables Pub and Grill. Happy hour every weekday, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 o'clock. We'll take a quick break. I'll wrap up this hour. We still have Mike Brohard going to join us from CSURams.com, as well as Kyle Fredrickson from the Denver Gazette. He's our Colorado Avalanche insider, which leads us back to our tight-knit brewing pool question of the day. How's this series going to go? Avs in 4, 5, 6, 7? Or the reverse, with Seattle somehow winning the series. We'll talk about that more next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Nikola Jokic, Angel, still might have a chance to win the MVP here. All NBA team picks Nikola Jokic. He edges out Joel Embiid for the top center center slot. He had three unanimous first team, or there was three unanimous first team choices. So it's Gilgeous Alexander, Steph Curry, Jason Tatum, Giannis, and Nikola Jokic. That's your first team.
Gilgeous Alexander, really?
Yeah.
That's honestly surprising.
He got it over Luka. Luka got second team.
I guess that's not so surprising.
De'Aaron Fox got third team.
That is surprising.
That Gilgeous got it over.
Yeah, I'd put De'Aaron Fox first team right now.
I would put him up there. Yeah. Steph Curry's at two. He's over Donovan Mitchell and Damian Lillard. Makes sense. Jason Tatum makes sense.
Yep.
He was in the MVP running. And then Giannis, MVP running, and Joker. So do you have a better feel that maybe Joker wins his third MVP?
I think it's more than possible than it was a couple of weeks ago. I think some of Embiid's comments recently have kind of maybe soured people on him a little bit. I think Giannis made a good push at the end of the year to maybe steal some votes away. And I know it's a regular season award, but people are still watching these games.
Sure, yeah.
The voters are still watching. They may have casted their vote.
I don't know, yeah.
But they're still watching these playoff games. Giannis is out. Embiid, they're probably going to roll through Brooklyn. Jokic just dominated against the Timberwolves. So
yeah.
This could still come down to, you know, you got to still play your MVP level in the playoffs.
Yeah, Embiid had 20 points, 19 rebounds, and 7 assists last night as the Sixers. But, I mean, in game one, it was all James Harden.
Right.
I mean, they're like putting
game one. It was all Jamal Murray.
Yeah, it's true. I think Joker's going to go off tomorrow night. I think he's going to go off, and the Nuggets are going to go up 2-0. So to me, it would seem that the MVP battle is really between Joker and Giannis. If Joel Embiid didn't make, I mean, how much do those guys intersect here? The people that vote on the all NBA teams and the MVP, are they the same people? I mean, if they are, then it would lead me to believe that it's between the Joker and Giannis.
Well, if it's not, is that just the casual viewer?
I don't know. I'll look into that a little bit more, and we'll kind of get some of the details based on who's actually voting. 12:57 the time. Mike Brohard coming up next. CSU spring football game is coming up on Saturday. Some opportunities to check the Rams out. Up close and personal. We'll talk to Mike about that. Coming up on the other side, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.